number 2. We began there this morning, and I decided that I just want God to be in control of every area of my life. And I had messages I plan on preaching tonight, this week, a few weeks ago, and God said, just bring this tonight. I enjoyed so much having Brother Farnham here last week, and as an encouragement to us, I think as a church, I think it's counting the weeks, it's been 9 weeks since God counted us worthy to go through this trial. We're going through it together. And I'm grateful for that. Grateful for church. Grateful for God's people. And I like men like Brother Farnham that deal with matters of the heart and the soul, but have no use for modern psychology. Now, there's some good things in psychology. I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but a lot of times we throw out Scripture to accept what the so-called experts say. The Bible has the answer to so many more things than we give it credit for. And I know there's a need for psychiatric medication and things of that nature, but for the most part, in general terms, it is way overused. And especially in a world that has no understanding and no use for God. And it grieves me sometimes the way a lot of preachers even get so wrapped up in counseling and psychology that they forsake the Word of God. Now, I'm speaking in general terms here, and if they're a good Bible preacher and good Bible teacher and Bible believer, I have nothing against them. But sometimes it's easy to let some of the world's philosophy slip into every area of our lives, and that's one of the most easy areas to let that slip in. But I gave you some things this morning and asked you to take that home, the handout. If you did not get one this morning, there's more up here. I think there's still some there. I encourage you to use that, at least this week. And maybe you don't use that specific piece of paper. I don't have all the answers. There's some good principles there in helping you in your daily walk with God, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are in your life. And I just shared with you this morning, and God led me really yesterday as I was talking to Him. I said, why don't you just share this with God's people tomorrow? And I didn't get through everything I wanted to cover this morning, so we're going to kind of pick up where we left off this morning. In verse number 6 of Ephesians chapter number 2, you see that phrase, in heavenly places. And I enjoyed spending a lot of extra time studying the book of Ephesians last year, and I think I may have even preached a little bit out of it sometime through the year last year. And I noticed a few people's testimony in the Gospel of Matthew. You're following the same Bible schedule, and you're in Matthew right now. Is that you go through the Bible of the year? Must be time to go through Matthew. But but anyways, Ephesians chapter was 4 different times in Ephesians it talks about we're living in heavenly places. What a blessing it is to walk in heavenly places, to walk in His presence. We're not in heaven yet, but it's only going to get better when we get to heaven. And verse number 6 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His... Oh, I'm sorry, verse number 6. I skipped a verse. That He raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in those heavenly places right now. Verse number 7 says it's going to get better when we leave this world. And we are not only in a heavenly place, but we are in heaven itself. But we asked you to look at the paper and use that and encourage you to every day ask God, as Satan's desiring to sift you as wheat and Jesus is praying for us, every week ask God for a verse. Wherever you're at reading in your Bible, get a verse that'll help you through that day. And I've learned this, that sometimes God will give you a verse that maybe something you read brought your attention or sparked intent. That was the Holy Spirit reminding you of something, by the way, in case you're not familiar with that. And saying, that's the verse I want you to look up. Get your concordance out if you're like me and you're not sure where that verse is. So you got to find where that verse is and use that for your verse. That's the verse that God gave you for the day. We got to do this part, get a verse and get a song, and then get a testimony. Look where He's brought us from. And again, I started in verse number 1 this morning, but I want to at least read verses number 8, 9, and 10 before we get into what we're looking at this evening. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that good? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The foreknowledge of God, the providence of God, is something we will never even begin to understand. Long before we knew Him, before we were ever born, before the world was created, God knew us. I don't understand that. People that think themselves of being really, 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 really smart think they understand that. They kind of become hyper-Calvinists, and they think they got God figured out. I don't have God figured out, but I know that God is in control of everything, and there's nothing that ever takes Him by surprise. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That's the Jew and the Gentile. Now I want to look at verse number 12, and I was just thinking of this and following the outline that God gave me, and He directed me to this chapter yesterday morning, actually. This morning He gave me something different, but God wanted me to share what He gave me yesterday with you folks. Look where He's brought us from. Verse number 12 and 13, that at that time ye were without Christ. That's where we were. Aren't you glad you have Christ now? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope, without God in the world, trapped in this world. But now, there's another great phrase. Earlier it was but God, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Think of all the places that God has brought you through. And I can guarantee you God's not failed you. We failed God. We've forsaken Him many times. And we've failed to trust in Him. We've failed to serve Him. Failed to obey Him. But He's never failed us. And He never will fail us. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus gave that promise to us. I just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight, and then get through leading up to the last point on your paper that I gave out this morning. And again, the paper says get a verse, get a song, get a testimony, and then get through. You're not going to get through with a snap of a finger. It's not something that's going to come instantaneous. The deeper the hurt, the harder the healing, but God is faithful. Get through. Last night I took a little walk over at the cemetery again and began to ask all the whys and the what ifs and feeling the hurt. But it was slightly better than it's been. And God seemed to say, lift up your eyes. Now, I don't hear God speak audibly, but it seemed as if God was reminding me, just lift up your eyes. And I lift up my eyes and saw a beautiful sunset. And then God directed me to look around a little bit. And of course, I look at the Hicks plot there and look at the folks that I've known and some of the funerals that I've done there. But then I look at the next stone over. And by the way, a cemetery is one of the best places you'll ever find to pray. Puts everything in perspective. I've known this for years, and oftentimes I'll just stop at a cemetery wherever I am and go pray. Maybe somewhere you don't know anybody. But God will begin to speak to you about a number of things when you pray in a cemetery. And I said, look around. Look at the other markers. But God seemed to be reminding me there's a whole lot of souls in need of a Savior that still have life and breath. And what are you doing about it? You know, we can grieve the rest of our life. or we can get on. We can get through. Things happen in our life for a reason. God has a purpose. God has a plan for everything that happens in our life. And there again, I pray as I've been praying for some time, actually. God, I need your grace to reach those in need. Again, I often go to cemeteries and pray for folks that I've known, some that I've done the funerals for, some dear friends and dear loved ones. And thank God for the memories, and I'm not an emotional, sentimental person, but I just think that's a wonderful place to pray. You know, first of all, it's outside, and nobody's going to bother you. And don't bring your cell phone, and it'll be a great time talking to the Lord. You can spend all the time you want there. Nobody's ever going to bother you. I realize, God, I need your grace to reach them. I can't do it. And God, I need to go. But God needs to work. I can't be the one to do the work of the Holy Spirit. I greatly desire Him to work through me. And God again reminded me of a prayer that I've been praying for really, I guess, years now. To help me to walk in the Spirit and to be sensitive for the souls around me. And God seemed to be reminding me of that last night. And this morning, we had a few visitors. I praise the Lord for that. We've been knocking on doors a lot, but I've changed my approach. You know, I mentioned this to folks that have been going out visiting with me. You know, you used to go with the mentality, though you didn't always say it, you always had this mentality, hey, I'm right, you're wrong, listen to me and you can get right. I don't have all the answers. But I've learned to just find out where people are in their walk with God and then try to take them one more step. And I don't push for a decision. I've been taught to do that and encouraged to do that. And so, don't you care about people? Yeah, I care about people if I'm going, but I'm not going to push them to make a decision because oftentimes we push them away when we do that. And I just want to make a friend and bring them a step closer to God if they are saved or if they're not saved. And of course, I want to see them get saved. Of course, I want to see them obeying the Lord in baptism and following the Lord. But I decided I'm going to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a novel idea? Instead of the way we train people to be soul winners, and you got to do the part of the Holy Spirit and the part of the soul winner. Jesus is the Holy Spirit's a soul winner. I'm just a warner. I'm a soul warner, not a soul winner. But anyways, and then you see some folks show up for church today, and after the service, trying to get to know them, and I approach everybody, just try to make a friend out of them. One of them I got to talk to for a while between Sunday school and church, a little late for church, but that's all right. But after the service, I was talking to Dan, and he said, I got to ask you a question. What does it mean to be saved? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have time to answer that question. Come back next week and I'll talk to you then about no. I don't care if there's watermelon down there or not. I'm going to tell you how to get saved. And praise the Lord, he trusted Christ as a Savior this morning. And it's a long story, but I'm just thankful for that. But we need to get through. That's a testimony. But then to get through. And I mentioned this morning, we left off here, I skipped a lot of things. I don't remember exactly what I covered, so I kind of blotted out things I know I covered. But things will never be back to normal, whatever we think normal is. And we had to never long for, you know, some folks live in the good old days. Now, well, I wish it could be like the good old days. I wish it could be back then. You're never going to go back there. You know, parents say, oh, I wish my kids were little again. No, I don't. I'm grateful for where they are. And we live life without regrets, and we go on, and not longing to be back to this and that and trying to change things to make them what they used to be. And Brother Todd was just talking about how we used to not have air conditioning in here. Aren't you glad for air conditioning on days like this? And I notice a lot of you old folks are getting those padded seats all the time now, huh? And some of you young folks, right? These two girls up here, these old folks up here, rather padded. All right, remember the good old days, right? With no air conditioning, you'd sit down on Sunday evening service, and When you stood up, you had to make sure your clothes came with you. We just let you sit down for the song service because we don't want anybody to be embarrassed. But never mind. I just thought, I won't even go any farther than that. But I want to make sure your and those fans wouldn't help enough. But those were the good old days. Let's go. You forget the good old days weren't as good as you think they were. And the folks are longing to go. Now, let's not go back to what things were. But let's move forward from where we are. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. And let me just read a couple of verses here. In chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 19. And I said, I love the book of Galatians. And I just this week actually started putting the book of Galatians and Ephesians together. And last year I spent a lot of time in the book of Ephesians in my own personal Bible time. But verse number 19 in chapter 2 says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Remember where you were? Without God, without hope in the world, lost in the world, and with the your fellow citizens, with the saints of God, and the household of God, but are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The apostles is in reference to the New Testament. The prophets is in reference to what? The Old Testament. We're built upon the foundation of the Word of God and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the theme. He is the very purpose of the Word of God, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God wants to dwell, and He does dwell in us, but He wants to take control of us. In verse number 1 of chapter number 3, for this, and again, when you read the Bible, don't pay any attention to those chapter divisions. You'll get so much more out of the Bible. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. You say, well, Paul must have been in prison when he wrote this. No, he was a prisoner long before he was locked up behind bars. If you're living for Jesus Christ, you are a prisoner of Him. If you're not a prisoner of Him, well, I don't think I want to be a prisoner of the Lord. Well, then you get to be a prisoner of the devil. You're going to be a prisoner of somebody. You're going to be a servant of somebody. I'd much rather be a servant of Jesus than a servant of the devil. And Paul said, I'm a prisoner, I'm a servant. In other words, a prisoner has no rights. A prisoner has no will. A prisoner can't just come and go as he please. A prisoner does whatever the master says that he has to do. And you say, well, I don't want to be under the leadership of Jesus. Then you're a prisoner of the devil. I want to do what I want to do. Well, the devil's telling you what to do if you don't follow Jesus Christ. But Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In other words, let me just say this. I can't get through, but God can get me through. We can't get through, but God can get us through. I can't, but God. I can't, but God. Back in verse number 4, but God. And then in verse number 13, but now, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus enters the grace of God. Without grace, I cannot. I can't live for God on my own. I learned that a long time ago, the first lesson, and I'm still learning a new lesson every week. I can't get along without God's grace. I can't do it on my own. A lot of people don't know this about me. I say it, but you don't believe it. Maybe you do, I don't know. But by nature, I'm an introvert. I'm a daydreamer. That was the two things I heard all the time in school. Quit daydreaming. I mean, I just sit in the classroom, I'm looking out the window, I'm in space somewhere. I don't know what's going on in the classroom because I ain't really there. I'm there in the flesh, but in spirit, I'm out there somewhere. That's just who I am. That's my nature. By nature, I'm a very lazy person. That's just who I am. That's the way I was apart from the grace of God. I'm thankful God changed that. In fact, the greatest conviction I ever got was trying to witness to one of my brothers, and they just made a comment just in passing, and I asked him not too long ago, do you remember saying that? When he said, well, you're a lazy person. He just kind of said it in passing, and I thanked him for it, and I said, that transformed my life, because I thought, if I'm going to be a Christian, I cannot be a lazy person. I made myself a morning person eventually because I don't want to be a person that sleeps till noon like I used to like to do. And by nature, I'm a very melancholic person, or the world will say depressed today. I'm a very insecure person by nature. But God, in His grace, can change that. And God, in His grace, does change that if we let Him, if we allow ourselves to be a prisoner. You know, I cannot do it on my own. I tried to change those things on my own, but I can't change those things on my own. But God can. But in Christ Jesus, He can change those. With the grace of God, I can be a different person. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can't do it on my own. I tried, and it doesn't work on your own, but you can through Christ. He can transform the way you think, the way you see things, the way you act, and it's a slow, long process sometimes, but He does change us. He does transform us by His grace. Through Christ, I can do all things. John 15, and again, that's became one of my favorite chapters of the Bible as an early Christian. Well, actually, John 14, 15, 16, and then the prayer in John chapter 17 I mentioned this morning. So John chapter number 15, I believe about in verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If I want to do it on my own, I'm going to fall flat in my face, I can guarantee it. I can't do it on my own. But through Christ, I can do all things. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. My identity needs to be in Jesus Christ. What God wants to make me. I don't know if you guys know the chorus. I want to do thy will, O Lord. That's going to be our chorus next month. You're going to learn it next month if you don't know it. One camp I went to years ago, every time they got up to preach, they sang that chorus. It's a great chorus. And part of that chorus says, break me, or take me, break me, and mold me and make me. You know, when God molds us and makes us, He doesn't make us after the pattern that we used to be. But I want to be fixed. I want to be put back together. No, God's going to make something completely new out of us. That's called God's grace. And God wants to do it, but before He can do that, He's got to break us. He's got to tear us down to where we're just little pieces, and then He can pick up those pieces and put them together to form something completely different than what we were before the grace of God. That's God's grace. And sometimes, and there's one of the problems I have with modern thinking and modern what's called psychology. Well, you need to be like, and they have their classifications of what normal behavior is. And what the, hey, I don't want to be normal. I want to be super normal. I want to be supernatural. I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to be conformed to the world's image. I want to be conformed to His image. I'm broken. Lord, don't fix me, but rather mold me and make me into Your image, to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I got thinking about something actually the other night, and maybe this led me to my thoughts and my devotions yesterday morning. Some circumstances that we were in. My wife deals with this more than I do, with the food pantry ministry, and the work that she does in there is quite amazing that she's able to keep up with it. But it's been a blessing to me because we get phone calls quite often of folks needing something. And I've learned to distinguish the difference between a beggar and somebody who's really in need. And I got one of those calls the other day. In fact, my wife was listening in, and I said, And of course, the pastor doesn't do anything all week, so this guy was upset at first because I didn't answer the phone. I don't drop everything to answer the phone, especially when I'm at something that's quite important. I don't even have my phone on. And I know some people jump over mountains to answer their phone just to pick up and find out it's a telemarketer or whatever. But they eventually called a number of times, and finally I thought, well, we can answer it now. My wife said, just go ahead and answer it. And I answered it, and the man's on the line. Of course, he had a long story that takes forever to tell because he's a beggar. There's a difference between a beggar and someone who's in need. And I don't want to be a beggar, but I want to be a needy person when I come to the throne of God's grace. You see, a beggar, and the difference is this, and I've learned this over the years, and it becomes very obvious when you talk to different people that are in need of things. They'll start to tell you this long story that ends up being a list of excuses why they're in a situation that they're in. And then they will have a list of things that they want from you. And if you don't give them what's on their list, it might be a long list, it might be a short list. You've got to give me what's on that list. And if you don't give me what's on that list, I'm going to get really mad, really angry. That's a beggar. They've got in their mind, God, this is what I need. God, give me this. Hey, I don't know what I need. I don't want to be a beggar. I want to be a person in need. And the main difference is a person in need, when I say, well, we can't do those things for you, but we can do this. A person that's truly in need will be grateful for anything that you're able to give them. That's somebody that's in need. And it's real obvious to tell real soon when you start talking to people if they're a beggar or if they're someone in need. Now, if it's somebody in need, I'm glad to help them in any way we can. But if they're just a beggar, they're just going to come back and they're never going to be satisfied. They're always going to be looking at, this is what I want, and they approach God that same way. They've got all the answers. They got it all figured out. They got an excuse for everything that's wrong in their life. They know all the answers, and they say, this is what I, do this for me. And if you're not able to do that, they get upset. Sometimes they'll get quite angry, even on the phone when they're coming asking the church, well, doesn't your church care about people? Don't you love people? And all those things that you hear all the time. That's a beggar, but somebody who's needy. And we approach God the same way. Are we a beggar, or are we truly in need? Paul said, I'm a prisoner of God. I don't have any rights. I don't have any right to expect anything. But God, anything you give me, I'll be happy for it. Anything you can do for me, I'll be happy for. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. And the first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's a needy person. I don't know what I need, but anything you can give me, I'm fine. If you can't give me anything, I'm fine with that. That's somebody in need. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They don't come with an agenda. They don't come with a list of wants and expectations. They said, I just, anything. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the first of the Beatitudes. In Romans chapter number 8, the Apostle Paul talks about the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption, that's the spirit that says, I don't deserve anything. I don't know anything. I don't have all the answers. Hey, this may be my doing. I don't know. I've messed up so many times. I don't know what God has brought upon me out of His mercy or what I've done because of my foolishness. But God, anything you can do for me, if it means to go ahead and go through the sorrow and the continued heartache and bearing a burden that I can't carry anymore, God, I'm a needy person. Anything you can do for me. Just give me that daily need today. Get me through today. Get me what I need. Get me the verse that I need today. Give me the song that I need today. And I don't even know what it is. God, whatever you give me, I'll be happy and content in that step that you give me. Am I a beggar or a needy person? And I thought, oh my, God convicted me. And I got off the phone. My wife heard the conversation and I said, I just made the statement, that's somebody that's a beggar. That's not somebody that's really in need. Because I couldn't give them what they demanded, what they expected. And sometimes things don't go our way and we go to God. God, if you're real, give me this. We're a beggar. But if we could get to that point where we're in need, to be poor in spirit. God, I don't deserve anything. I'm nobody. God, if you just give me just a crumb from the table, I'd be content with that. If God chooses to bless in great ways, that's wonderful. If He chooses not to bless in great ways, that's wonderful. And let me say, God always makes sense. well-known so-called Christian psychologist made a lot of money selling a book, When God Don't Make Sense. God always makes sense. By the way, I read that book and I thought the book was had some good ideas in it, but the title was blasphemous, to be quite honest with you. God knows what He's doing. And who am I to tell God when He makes sense? Who am I to tell God this is... That's the spirit of a beggar, not the spirit of somebody who's truly in need. God help us to be in need. We can get through this. I don't know if I gave you the title. Jeff might ask me the title. There's the title, Jeff. We can get through this. We can get through this when we learn to come to Him as needy people and not as beggars. We can get through it. I'm grateful for anything. God chooses to put me through the fire, I'll go through the fire. And I'll enjoy the fire. And sometimes people, I know sometimes, my wife knows me better than you folks, and sometimes at wintertime folks are complaining about the weather. I'd say, praise the Lord, I love the snow, let's get a foot of snow. And then I'm out shoveling it. I come in grumbling and complaining, and my wife says, what's happened to that guy that loves the snow? And I said, that was before I had to shovel it. But I just learned that, praise the Lord, whatever He gives me, I'll enjoy it. And rather than complain and grumble about it, and again, there's the difference, and you see it. You sit in the food pantry with my wife, you'll see it. No matter what the weather is, folks are going to be complaining about it. If it's too hot, too cold, too warm, too dry, too wet, they're going to complain about something. The first thing out of some folks' mouth, and there's a beggar. It's too rainy today. It's too hot today. It's too sunny today. It's too cloudy today. Whatever. Take what God gives you. And as somebody with the right spirit, there's somebody with the right, that's a needy person that realizes, I need God's grace. Grace is God doing things that I have no control over. I can't change. I can't figure it out. I can't always understand it. But God, I need Your grace. I need You to get through today. And I don't have expectations. God, do this and do that. I've got my list. And I sometimes joke about having a grocery list that we put before God. We're saying, God, do this and do this and do this. And if You don't, I'm going to hold my breath and stomp my feet. And that's what we picture fasting as. That's not what fasting is, but that's the mentality that a lot of folks have. God, I'm not going to eat until You do this and this and this. That's not the way to approach God. That's a beggar. That's not a needy person. God, I have these needs, what I perceive, but maybe You know better. Maybe that's not what I need. God, give me what I need. Whatever You give me, I'll be content with, and I'll be happy with it. And we can get through this. And God will bring us to the other side different than what we ever expected. God will transform our life if we will let Him transform us. If we come to Him as poor in spirit, with the spirit of adoption. God, I don't even deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be at Your table. Whatever You're going to serve me, if it's liver and onions, boy, I don't know if I can go that far. I'll be grateful. Actually, I'll choose to fast for that meal is what I will do. But I'll be grateful to fast. But whatever You give me, I'll be content and I'll be happy with it. Instead, we sometimes, God, I expected this to happen and it didn't happen. And before long, we get all bitter and bent out of shape. Say, God, that's not fair. God's always fair. God's always just. God's always right. And He wants to mold us into His image. But it's our nature to resist that any way we can. And every opportunity we can. God, I don't want to do that. None of us wants to go through a valley. But we also know that every valley is where we draw close to Jesus Christ. And we can get through this with God's grace. And I'm thankful for His grace. And oh, I'm grateful for the way I've seen God's grace demonstrated. And every day we need more of God's grace. I'm going to ask you to stand.